Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, helping homeowners trade out old windows for modern, energy-efficient windows with curb appeal. Estimates at callmosby.com.
From St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. It's been nearly a year since Brian Garcon Rayo died by suicide in the Phelps County Jail. The U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency detained Garcon Rayo, who is from Colombia, after he was released from a St. Louis jail. He had been charged with using a credit card that wasn't his, which is a misdemeanor. Now Garcon Rayo's death is getting attention from Colombia's president, Gustavo Petro. He wrote on X earlier this week that, quote, Colombia Foreign Ministry must deliver a protest note and the U.S. government must reflect on how immigration policy is killing Americans and Latin Americans. STLPR's Brian Munoz has been following this story for months. He now joins us to discuss Petro's statement. Brian, welcome back to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Glad to be back, Jason.
Before we get to the Colombia president's statement, remind us who Brian Garcon Rayo was and why he was in the Phelps County Jail in the first place.
So Brian Garcon Rayo was a 27-year-old man who had immigrated to the United States via the southern border in California with his mother, Lucy Adriana, as she goes by as well. And they had fled Bogota, the capital of Colombia, because of growing threats of violence and harassment from law enforcement. They had loved, you know, living there, trying to form their life there, but the situation became untenable and they made the ultimate decision that coming into the United States and seeking asylum was the best way to go.
And were they, like, trapped in this never-ending limbo of the asylum process, which seems to ensnare a lot of people who come to America across the border?
So for Lucy and her daughters, yes. But whenever they arrived at the border, Brian had gotten separated because women and children are separated from men, typically in detention. And the mother got her court date and Brian went on his way. But the mother and her family is still, you know, facing their asylum cases as they're going through that kind of never-ending cycle. Brian Garcon Rayo ended up in custody after being charged with shoplifting at a Shrewsbury Walmart. He had eaten some chicken without paying for it, among other things. And he missed his court hearing for that charge, and there was a warrant put out for his arrest. Fast forward, he was found to have been using somebody's credit card that wasn't his own. His family contends that an acquaintance of his gave him the credit card and he was just doing what this other guy was telling him to. So nevertheless, he ended up in custody there by St. Louis police once they were investigating that transaction and ultimately turned him over to ICE custody, which drove him about 2 hours to the Phelps County Jail in Rolla.
And how often are these local jails used to detain people for alleged immigration violations? And is there like a financial incentive for these jails to work with ICE?
There is a financial incentive for local jails to be working with ICE. So in Missouri, there are at least four facilities, St. Genevieve, Phelps County in Rolla, Ozark Jail down in Springfield area, as well as a Greene County jail. And folks get paid, you know, anywhere from $80 a day to hold a person for ICE to over $100 a day. And those reimbursement rates have been a point of conversation to the point that the Rolla jail decided at one point recently, hey, this is no longer financially viable for us, so we're not going to do it. Presumably, the Department of Homeland Security came back and renegotiated that contract with them. So now they're housing folks again.
Petro mentioned Garcon Rayo wanted to call his mom and was not allowed to. And he chose suicide. You reported that he was not given a mental health evaluation. Who would have been responsible for letting him call his mother and get a mental health evaluation? Would it be ICE officials or Phelps County Sheriff's personnel?
I think there's a shared responsibility here between the two agencies to ensure that the protocols are being followed. Basically, the United States government, Department of Homeland Security, ICE, other federal agencies of that manner, sometimes U.S. Marshals, contract with these local jails to essentially carry out the detention of these individuals for any number of reasons. And presumably, it would be up to the Phelps County Sheriff's Office, who runs the jail, to ensure that they are receiving the adequate care, that the policies and protocols as laid out in the law and in the policy book are being followed and things of that nature. I did reach out to the Phelps County Sheriff's Office to get a comment for the story, and they did not immediately respond.
You mentioned in your piece that Petro, the Colombian president, is making the statement as he's about to leave office. I double-checked. There is a Colombian presidential election, I think, in the next several days. So is there anything to these words beyond just symbolism?
I think that's a big question. I think you've seen a lot of Latin American leaders decry the treatment of immigrants in the United States. I think of Claudia Sheinbaum in Mexico as one of the other outspoken voices and saying, like, hey, maybe the United States should reexamine how they're carrying out this immigration policy and making sure that it's being done in a humane and equitable way. But I think there is questions even amongst Brian Garcon Rayo's family of why now? You know, this happened a year ago.
And that was going to be my next question. Have you spoken with her, with his mother yet?
Yeah, I just spoke with her recently, actually. It's kind of bittersweet for her. Of course, she says that she appreciates the attention. She wants people to know what happened to her son and to realize that her son was more than just a criminal that some people are making him out to be, that he was a loving and caring individual that wanted to fight for his family and got wrapped up in some unfortunate circumstances. But the question, you know, kind of remains on, like, why now? And this was the first time that she had seen the video, was the reporting around this. So it brought some sense of closure, but there's still a lot of questions that she says remain. And she's hoping that as investigations and officials kind of go through what happened and if any protocol was being able to be changed since that to prevent this from happening again, what does that look like? And hopefully she gets some resolution here soon.
Brian Munoz is St. Louis Public Radio's photojournalism editor. He has been covering this story for months with other St. Louis Public Radio reporters. Brian, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Jason.
And if you or somebody you know is struggling, help is available. Call or text 988 to reach the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, available 24/7. That's 988, available through text or a call.
The Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air is produced by Jason Rosenbaum, Alex Hoyer, Emily Woodbury, Danny Wisentowski, Maya Norfleet, and Elaine Cha. The politics editor is Fred Ehrlich.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
Hi, I'm Laura Hamden, and my colleague Jessica Rogan and I are your daily hosts of the Gateway Newsletter. We meet with the editors in the STLPR newsroom every weekday to bring you the top local stories of the day in a quick and easy 6-minute read by 6 a.m. In an age of overwhelm, it's a refreshing, thoughtful take on the news day, if we do say so ourselves. Fine-tune your daily news habit with the Gateway Newsletter. Subscribe at stlpr.org/gateway.